Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Mark, another happy summer week to you. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. You've got a good poem this week. In fact, we've got a bunch over the next several weeks, a bunch of very interesting poems. Let's start today talking about anticoagulation, starting with a concept called bridging anticoagulation. Some of the listeners will recognize that this concept involves the administration of a short-acting anticoagulant, typically a low molecular weight heparin, during the interruption of a longer agent, which is typically warfarin. Now, there's very little data on using the newer direct anticoagulants. Problem is they don't have a reversal strategy should bleeding occur. So the intent of this bridging is to minimize the time the patient is not anticoagulated, thereby, in theory, minimizing the risk of perioperative thromboembolism. However, there's sort of this balancing act, right? The perioperative thromboembolism with the risk of postoperative bleeding. Anyways, the clinician needs to decide whether bridging is appropriate, and if so, whether the benefit applies preoperatively, postoperatively, or both. Currently, expert opinion is that bridging anticoagulation may be appropriate in patients who have a very high risk of thromboembolism, perhaps because they've had a stroke or systemic embolic event in the previous 12 weeks. Maybe they have mechanical aortic valve, which causes additional stroke risk factors. If they have atrial fib with a high risk of stroke, venous thromboembolism in the past 12 weeks, recent stenting, those kinds of things put you in a higher risk group. You found an article, I think, which is one of the first actual to look at some data, provide us some information. It comes from Circulation 2015. It's in volume 131. It starts on page 488. It asks the clinical question, does bridging anticoagulation during a procedure improve or worsen patient-oriented outcomes? So not just the labs, but does this make a difference? Mark, what do they find?
Yeah, this is a really hot area of research, and we're seeing better and better studies. And in fact, there's going to be one coming, an upcoming poems where we just haven't even written it up yet. It just was published that is on this topic and reinforces this message. So, yeah, this was in Circulation, and it was a prospective cohort study. And, you know, you really wonder, is all that hassle, all that extra work, is it improving outcomes or not? So they took data from a big registry of patients with atrial fibrillation, non-valvular AFib, called the Orbit AF registry. And a lot of studies come out of this registry. And it has data on over 10,000 patients. After excluding those who weren't on an oral anticoagulant, there were 7,300 in the study population. And they underwent 2,800 interruptions of their usual therapy, mostly for non-cardiac surgery. Of those interruptions, about 1 in 4, the doc decided to do bridging anticoagulation. Patients weren't randomized to bridging or no bridging. So you have to think, were the groups different? Was there a reason that a doc said, I'm going to bridge this patient, but not that one? The CHADS2-VASc score, which is a measure of the risk of thromboembolism, was similar between those who did and didn't get bridged. It was used more often for patients undergoing a cardiac procedure, less often for those using getting a dental procedure or endoscopy, which makes sense. You know, you're going to be more concerned about it during more of a high-risk, longer procedure. Patients who were bridged were generally similar to those who weren't in terms of their demographics, but they were higher risk in terms of previous stroke, heart failure, heart disease, or valve disease. Now, the authors tried to adjust for all that in their analysis, and after doing that adjustment, they found that the 30-day risk of a cardiovascular event was higher in the bridged patients, not lower, higher, 4.6 versus 2.5%. So about a 60% increase in the odds of an event. The number needed to harm was 47. So for every 47 you bridged, you had one more cardiovascular event. Risk of bleeding events was also higher. Number needed to harm was 27. So again, you would hope you would be not seeing an increase in bleeding. They did. There was no difference between groups in terms of the risk of stroke or thrombotic events. So bottom line, this study is yet another, and there have been several now, showing that patients with non-valvular AFib, not only doesn't it improve outcomes, it actually is associated with worse outcomes and higher risks of bleeding complications and cardiovascular events.
Is this a practice changer?
Yeah, you know, particularly with the upcoming poem, which was a randomized trial, I believe, in the New England Journal, which we'll be talking about soon. It really is getting to the point where you really have to weigh very carefully whether you want to bridge someone. And certainly for, you know, lower risk procedures, I just don't think it makes sense. Now, the guidelines haven't caught up with this data yet, and so, you know, you may want to check the most recent ACC, AHA guidelines on this. They basically still list it as an option and say that, you know, you have to balance the risk of bleeding and the risk of clotting and the risk of cardiovascular events. Not too long, we're going to be seeing much, much less of this bridging.
You know, while the data is beginning to accumulate, we certainly know a bit about high-risk groups, the groups that I mentioned at the top of the poem, and yeah. It may be that we want to treat those guys differently than we do lower-risk or moderate-risk people. Anyways, yeah. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.